Well, to Ukraine now, where the UN Security Council holds an emergency session on the ceasefire there. France and Germany requested the meeting as Ukraine's military began withdrawing heavy weapons from the front line and the fighting with pro-Russian rebels appeared to subside. People in the port city of Mariupol are keeping a wary eye on it all. That city is strategic because it sits between the Russian border and Crimea, which Russia annexed last March. People have been worried for months that the rebels will invade. There are roadblocks and checkpoints leading into the city, and bridges have been wired with explosives so they can be blown up if the pro-Russian separatists make a move. The BBC's Rupert Wingfield Hayes reports.
I'm standing now in the blast furnace hall at the Ilyich Steelworks in Mariupol. It is always an amazing sight to go inside a steelworks. Flames are belching from huge pots of molten steel. There's a massive blast furnace behind me now, which is cooking my back. This place is vitally important to the Ukrainian economy. It produces 1 million tons of steel a year. It employs 60,000 people here in Mariupol. And right now it's even more important because of the man who owns it, Renat Akhmetov. He's Ukraine's richest oligarch, and he has decided to back the government and to oppose the rebellion.
Last year, workers from here played a key role in kicking the separatists out of Mariupol. Teams of workers were bussed into the city to dismantle roadblocks and barricades, and then to begin patrols. One of them was Andrei.
I will defend this city against any aggressor. As long as this place is operating, I can feed my family. I'm ethnic Russian, and I don't care where you come from, Russia, America, or outer space. If you disrupt my life, I will fight.
That is music to the ears of the government in Kiev. But the truth is, Mariupol is still a divided city. Close to the steelworks, I meet 66-year-old Viktor, a retired steelworker. Standing in his garden, he points to the houses of his neighbours who are pro-Russian. He points to pretty much all of them. Viktor's been bullied for flying a Ukrainian flag in his garden. He is no Ukrainian nationalist. He shows me photographs of his Russian father in a Red Army uniform. But when I talk about the current civil war, he becomes very agitated.
This is not a civil war. This is an artificially created conflict. It's being engineered by Putin and a bunch of bandits in Donetsk who want to join Russia.
As I'm leaving Viktor's house, he stops a couple walking down the street. Ask them what they think, he says. So I do.
I don't think there is any aggression from Russia. Living in this city, I feel much more angry with the Ukrainian troops.
This is a surprisingly common view. I've heard it on many occasions in the last week. People flatly denying that Russia is the aggressor. And so the authorities here are resorting to a time-honoured tactic, teaching their children to hate the enemy. At the Mariupol Lycée, the day starts with the children singing the national anthem. Then it is off to patriotism class.
Our love to Ukraine gives us...
One by one, the kids get up to speak about how much they love Ukraine and despise Russia.
Against Russian terrorists.
One of the kids plays a video filled with images from the war to a track of heavy metal music. There are heroic Ukrainian fighters and bloodthirsty Russians. Teaching these children to love their country and to hate their Russian neighbours is perhaps a logical response to the violence being fuelled by Moscow. But it also begs the question, where will this all end?
The BBC's Rupert Wingfield Hayes in Mariupol, Ukraine.